Another episode of the Brother Layman Sports Happy Hour. We are your hosts, Chris
and Jonathan.
Hope everybody had a good Christmas, New Year, and just a happy holiday in general. We are in 2013 now.
Yeah, New Year.
Yep. Trying to step our game up.
That's right.
You know, this is 2013 for Black Kids Online. We're trying to do some big things and make things happen. And I know on the Brother Layman side, we're trying to give. You know, be a little more consistent with what we put out.
Yeah. We know y'all missed us a little bit. You know, want to welcome y'all back. You know, I know we've been out for a while. Everybody got lives to live. So hope y'all had a good one. Good Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate. You know, got to give some shout-outs to the families. You know, I know we haven't been on in a while, so got to give a shout-out to the families in Connecticut and all that with the tragedies that happened with the shootings and all that. And gun violence has been a big issue here lately in the United States.
Yeah, especially in 2012 in general.
Yeah, especially towards the end. It's something that needs to be addressed, hopefully soon. But we're not here to talk politics. We're here to talk sports, and we know y'all missed us. And we missed y'all too. So let's get into it, give the fans what they want to hear. And first thing first, we in the playoff swing, so let's jump into the NFL.
Man, it's been some tight games, so we'll get to the Saturday games. Now, first off, tight game between the Texans and Bengals. Bengals, you know, stepped up, came in as a number six seed, looking pretty good. You know, Texans on the other end lost the three of their last four, basically had a chance to lock up number one seed and home field advantage throughout, and just ended up falling to third.
Losing it to those Broncos, baby. Those Denver Broncos. Show them love. 13-3. 11 straight games won. Number one seed and a bye. Love it.
Yeah, you knew it wasn't going to be that long before y'all had to bring out the...
Had to bring out the big guns. But back to the game. Yeah, it definitely was a close game. The way this game went, I know it's going to bring up a lot of questions with Houston. You know, they're going in now, playing New England, going into Boston. So a lot of people are going to say, you know, with the performance they put out tonight, will that be enough, you know, to beat New England? With the way they play tonight, no. They're definitely going to have to step their game up against New England. You know, of course, you know, no disrespect to Arian Foster, he did what he had to do, rushed for 140 yards, had another 30-some-odd yards catch receiving. But the defense... It was okay. Matt Schaub's got to perform much better than that. But overall, I mean, they did what they had to do. They won. You know, they made it.
Oh, this is a tight game. I mean, you knew just by the defense that they were going to be.
Cincinnati's defense ain't no slouch, folks. Let's just not let it be known. They proved that today. Their defense is serious. And I know on their end, it's going to bring up a lot of questions about Andy Dalton. Is he the quarterback that can lead this team to where they want to go, considering that, you know, we all saw the interception he threw early on in the game.
Yeah.
It was clearly underthrown, and that's always been the question with Andy Dalton is his arm strength. Does he have enough arm to make it, to be that guy who can lead you to a championship? And, you know, it remains to be seen. You gotta give him a little bit of time. He's still, he's his third year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's coming along. You can see he's made clear progress from his rookie season to now. I mean, you know, they've got some good weapons with A.J. Green, who's become one of the best receivers, probably a top three receiver. Maybe, I can't give him top three yet. Maybe four or five in the league. You know, Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis came on strong this season, proved that he can be the guy who can kind of carry the load for you running back-wise. And their defense came on, so... They have the pieces there, but I know that that quarterback question is just going to linger on in the offseason for Cincinnati.
It will. I believe in Andy Dalton. I think he has what it takes. I mean, it's a rough game today. You know, he's going up against Houston's defense, who, you know, hasn't been looking that great the last few games going into the playoffs. So
they've been banged up.
Right. So they came in hungry with something to prove. I mean, Arian Foster, 32 carries, 140 yards. Touchdown, his usual.
He did what he had to do.
Yeah, they.
He handled it.
They came with it, you know, Ryan Arian Foster, man shot 38 passes, you know, 29-38, 262, had that pick six. Mm.
That was just a bad decision on his part. But those are things you got to work on. Those are things you cannot do against a team like New England. Definitely cannot turn the ball over like that. That's a team that easily can strike in a matter of seconds.
Yeah, having to go to New England with their next opponent. Not that they got stomped.
It's going to be rough, especially if we happen to see some snow.
Yeah.
That's going to be even rougher.
I mean, the thing is, do we believe that they can hold Arian Foster to, you know, under, I would say for good for them, under 70 yards? I doubt it.
And then the question on the flip side is, can Houston's D, as banged up as it is, put pressure on Tom Brady enough to rattle him? Because if you just give him a clean pocket, he's going to pick your pocket the whole game.
Oh, yeah. You know what Tom Brady is all about, pressure. I mean, if he gets pressure, you'll stay in the game. You can make some things happen. But if he has time in the pocket, it's over with.
J.J. Watt, I'm looking at you, dog. About to bring it.
Oh, but
it was a good game.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very good game. Much better than the last game we saw. Than the next game. With Minnesota, Green Bay. I honestly, coming into the game, I had confidence that Minnesota would be able to pull it out. They just beat them to get into the playoffs. No, I thought they had a good chance. Come to find out, like, 5 minutes before the game that Joe Webb is starting at quarterback. Then it's like, oh, okay, never mind. They ain't lose.
Yeah, it played out just as people
as thought people it knew it would. You got a quarterback who, granted, he's athletic as all get out. He's fast. He can scramble. But he's a faster Tim Tebow. He can't throw the ball.
Yeah, didn't he fill in for when Brett Favre got hurt or left?
He filled in a little bit, but he's never been a guy who's he's not a starting quarterback in this
game. No, he's clearly a backup.
He's clearly a backup.
There's a reason why they drafted Christian Ponder. Mm-hmm. And I felt bad for Christian Ponder on that just because he played hurt. Clearly he was hurt and
he got
helped
all,
his team get into the playoffs.
Got all the scrutiny this year. I mean, considering what Adrian Peterson did with the miraculous, you know, coming back from the injury, pretty much coming from 9 yards shy of breaking Eric Dickerson's record. You know, Christian Ponder got a lot of flack for, you know, not producing a little bit more and basically putting everything on Adrian Peterson.
Right.
So, and then the fact that he got hurt before this playoff game, it's not going to help him. And I feel bad for him.
He needed a chance to prove, you know, whether or not is he. And for the Vikings themselves, they're like, hey, we want to know, can we trust this guy in the playoffs? You know, when it's big game time, you know, can he step up and make the plays? And, you know, now we don't know. Now there is no definitive yes or no.
But I will say this for Christian Ponder. Had he played and started, the game would have been much closer. I truly believe that.
Yeah.
It would have been a much closer game than what we saw.
Yeah, I'm sure there are some people who thought this was going to be the turnout regardless. But I think you could just see they were terrible in the first half, couldn't pass the ball.
They couldn't pass the ball, and that's the problem. That is the problem. They're the one position these guys are going to definitely have to step up next year in the offseason is your wide receiver spot. Because clearly that is one place that you just – Percy Harvin, if you ain't got him, then you just ain't moving the rock.
No, nothing. Kyle Rudolph had – I think he just ain't took 42. Much, yeah. Jenkins just, you know, whatever. But, yeah, I mean, clearly missing Percy Harvin.
Clearly.
And, yeah, Webb was just nothing. It's the backup in there.
And on the flip side, Green Bay was just rolling. Aaron Rodgers was Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. And MVP caliber-esque. You know, he turned it on. Greg Jennings had a good game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody played well, played their roles well. And surprisingly, this guy, DeJuan Johnson, is it DeJuan Johnson?
DeJuan Harris.
DeJuan Harris, excuse me, the running back who was a car salesman a week ago. That goes to show you, you know, no matter what you're doing, Kurt Warner was bagging groceries, this guy was selling cars.
Yeah.
If you play and you got, hey, whatever, if coaches see something in you, they'll want to bring you along. You know, and it just so happened, this is always what we see happening. You know, guys get an opportunity. Green Bay's running game has always been questionable since the beginning of the season. I mean, Cedric Benson got hurt. It was like, we just don't know who's going to start, who's going to carry the load. And you got this guy who comes out of nowhere, plays well in the playoffs. And this is where you getting your money.
Yeah, he did enough. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, you almost... Aaron Rodgers, 23-33, 274, touchdown.
Yep.
And just played a solid all-around game. And basically, we just went in there from jump. And this game was boring. I tried to watch the third quarter. And then it was like, all right.
Yeah, I'm sure like most of y'all, we had to turn it off. I couldn't really watch it anymore. It was just ugly to get. Ugly game to watch. Ugly.
No, these were both, you know, first game was defensive. And this one wasn't great at all. So, you know, now Green Bay has going to San Francisco.
Yeah, that's going to be a very interesting matchup. Mm. But kind of see Green Bay winning this. I just don't have faith in Colin Kaepernick. I'm just coming out to say it. I do not have faith Colin Kaepernick will win this playoff game against Green Bay. I think it'll be too much pressure for him. And he will crumble. And he will crumble. And then everybody's going to say, ooh. Alex Smith is going to sit in the background just like, yep. Should have played me, coach. It's all good, though. It's all good. Colin Kaepernick will do whatever. He'll be the starting quarterback next year. Alex Smith will find a gig somewhere else, and we'll all be moving on. So,
I do not
believe he's going to win. I don't.
Yeah, I have a feeling people came out being basically Green Bay to go represent the NFC. So, you know, it's a quarterback in the league. It's always going to be a quarterback league, and you know, Green Bay has a
much better
top five quarterback. They have a, you know, potentially really good quarterback. So, we always going to lean to that team.
Exactly. So,
but I like, you know what?
What?
I think Frisco might pull this one out. I like the defense they got. They will get some pressure on Rodgers. You know, he won't be as comfortable.
Oh, of course not. You know, their D's going to put pressure on them, but...
And Kaepernick, he'll push the ball down the field. You know, Michael Crabtree, seldom used Vernon Davis.
Yeah, like Michael Crabtree's the only player he throws the ball to now. It's like...
Hey, you know, Randy Moss...
spread the rock.
Randy Moss gets to play Green Bay, bring back some memories.
Mooning!
But I do think Frisco has enough plays. I like... Green Bay, I just don't think they're going to pull this game out. I think it'll be close. I think it'll be a lot more enjoyable. But I think Frisco is headed back to the NFC Championship.
We'll see. If Colin Kaepernick could get him there, I'll give him a little bit more respect. He'll get a bump. But, man, besides the playoffs, Black Monday came, man. It came with a storm, boy.
Dude.
7 openings.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list here. North Turner, gone. Andy Reid,
gone.
Bounce back. Pat Shermer, Chan Gailey, Romeo, Cornell, Lovie Smith, and Ken Whisenhunt. And then you had, what, GM for Cleveland, the Jets, Jacksonville, San Diego. Yep. Arizona, and then Kansas City. You know, Andy Reid bounced back, landed the Kansas City job.
So you're going to have to fix that quarterback situation.
That's clearly number one on me.
And then the next question is, does the value of Jamal Charles plummet? Because we all know Andy Reid's history, Brian Westbrook, with LeSean McCoy. You got these versatile running backs who, for some reason, aren't getting enough carries, but are getting 50 catches a year. So, I guess his catches will go up. My question is, you got to run him, though. You got to pound him.
Yeah, I have a feeling he's not going to use
And then number three, you got to make sure you keep Dwayne Bowe. You cannot let him. You cannot let him leave.
No, if you want, if you want any success with at least what you got there, even if you have to run with Matt Castle for a year, you got to have somebody to throw to.
Got to keep Dwayne Bowe. Got to. So it'll be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see who he brings in for a GM position. The one that kind of surprised me though was Lovie Smith. I mean, they won 10 games. It was 10 games. They won 10 games, didn't they?
Yeah.
And but, you know, unfortunately, they couldn't squeak into the playoffs. But he's definitely going to find a gig somewhere. I mean, he'll bounce back quick.
Yeah, I heard he's looking around now. There was some interest I heard from, at the moment. But
I actually think a good landing spot for him would be Buffalo, personally. I think Buffalo would be a good spot for him. They added Mario Williams in the offseason. You know, that gives him pretty much like a Julius Peppers kind of player that he can work with.
Speaking of that, that is they did interview him. That's the spot.
That's where I think he would be the best. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, they're going to have to address the quarterback situation, but you got to see Jay Spiller. He's proven that he can not necessarily get 25 carries a game, but you give him about 15 to 20 carries a game, he can make some electric plays.
Oh, he's good in the passing game. He has to get more.
You still got Stevie Johnson as your number one wide receiver. Mm-hmm. So, you got pieces. So, I think he'd be a good fit there. And sky's the limit.
Yeah, supposedly he's a defensive coach, and the Bills were supposed to be really good defensive this year, and were not.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that was a little shocking. We know Mike Ditka was not happy about that.
Not at all.
But, you know, he'd been there a long time, and they've just been okay. And, you know, same thing with Andy Reid. At some point, you're like, all right, how long do I just roll with this guy before I'm like, all right, I need to just change it up.
Yeah.
Because we're just staying stagnant. But even when they went to the Super Bowl, you know, people weren't believing, like, oh, this is a –
yeah,
this team can come back every year, like, and they got to fix that quarterback situation.
Yeah. And the hot name out there is Chip Kelly from Oregon.
They're interviewing everybody.
So, I mean, hey, I'm not mad at him.
No.
He had a good 4-year run at Oregon. Kicking butt. They were the top 5 team every year. Okay, won their bowl game this year again. So, shoot. Take the money and run.
Oh, yeah, he's not coming back. I would
take
either.
The money and run. And for what I hear, Cleveland is like offering to give him like power. We will let you make personnel decisions. Like, what? Really? I understand he was productive in college, but let's slow down here. Like, college and NFL are different. He ain't running that scheme he ran in college and NFL. I'm sorry. That's not going to happen. So he's going to have to adjust that. And then if you go to Cleveland, you got Brandon Weeden. Brandon Weeden doesn't really fit his type of offense. He likes guys that can move, guys that can run. So you got to figure out what to do with that situation. So we'll see. But I'm hearing Cleveland. I'm also hearing Philadelphia, I guess, are the two most likely landing spots for him. Me personally, I go with Philly just because I have more talent to work with. Yeah. That's just me.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
With Philly comes bigger expectations, especially with that fan base.
Yes.
So, if you're going to take that job, you got to win, and win soon. But, you know, and then another hot name that's on the coaching list, my offensive coordinator, Mike McCoy.
Nah, man. No, yeah, he's gone.
Yeah, unfortunately, but you know what, it's all good. I mean, I'm happy for the man. I mean, you look what he did with the Broncos with Tim Tebow, basically scrapping his whole offense, bringing a spread option crap, whatever it is, out of his butt just to try to win games, and it worked, and they won. And what's happening that we're seeing now? Everybody was crapping on it. Now we got Carolina running it, see Washington running it, see San Francisco running it a little bit. Although with Tim Tebow, it was a problem. And then he gets, you know, Peyton Manning, and then Peyton Manning just blew him up. So I mean, he showed he can work with what he has, and he can mold an offense to fit his personnel. So I'm happy for him, and I do hope he gets a head coaching job. He deserves it.
Nah, I think he'll land.
And then the name I heard who might be replacing him is Peyton Manning's old offensive coordinator from Indy, Tom Moore.
Holla.
Oh, and the ball just keeps rolling, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, you can't. Speaking of coaches,
what is up with Rex Ryan and his tattoo of his wife in a Mark Sanchez jersey? Which is, what? doing a quote unquote Tebow pose. I don't know what's going on with he. I don't know if Rex Ryan. I don't know if it's real. I don't even know if it's a real tattoo or not. I don't know if it's body paint or whatever it is. But, dude, you gotta stop. Like, just stop.
It's just too much crap.
You're on vacation, and all of a sudden, there just happens to be this tattoo of your wife and this Mark Sanchez. Like, what?
In a Mark Sanchez jersey. Like, put him in the Jets. Put it with your
just say Jets. Heart. Yes. Like, just, or just say Jets or something. Mark Sanchez. Oh, Lord, he's going to live and die by that man. And you know what? They both going to be out the door next year. So it doesn't even matter as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, because Tannenbaum's gone already, which it should have been.
That's one down. One more to go. They're not going to do anything drastically different. They're not making drastic changes. They can't. Too much money involved. And then Sean Green is a free agent. He ain't coming back.
Nope.
You're stuck with Mark Sanchez, yes. So you just got to make it work.
You're stuck with Antonio Holmes.
You
forgot about him.
Yep. Dustin Keller basically said he don't want to be franchise tag, so you better try to sign him. Otherwise, he's gone. And then Tim Tebow's gone too. And then, that'll make a difference. That probably will be a good thing for them. One less controversy and one less story they have to worry about every day.
Dude, I cannot believe. I remember when he got picked there, and this was, you know, showing the press conference of him saying how excited he was to be a Jet like 50 times in a press conference. And people are debating how many games before he starts, and he starts none.
And we heard all this. Oh, he's going to get 20 snaps a game, blah, blah, blah. He's the punt protector. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, let me reiterate. The Denver Broncos received a 4th and a 6th round pick for Tim Tebow. That is like gold. Because what would you get for him now? Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Somebody told you, all right, if the Jets are going to finish 6-10 this year, how many games before he starts? He'd be like,
oh, he'd be starting. He'd be starting by like week 8 or 9.
Somebody was like week 5, like.
And I was one of them. I was one of those people. I thought he'd start early because I didn't think Mark Sanchez would be that good.
Mark Sanchez
and
lived up to everybody's expectations.
Yeah, which was weak. He is sorry. I have never been high on Mark Sanchez ever since he came out of college. Since he was at SC, I was never that high on him. He was whatever to me. And then when they jumped up to pick him at 5, I was like, really?
Even his coach was like, he ain't ready to come out.
Okay. Pete Carroll called it. But, hey, whatever. So, Mark Sanchez is now the weakest starting quarterback in the NFL. And is he weaker than Matt Castle?
I mean, he...
They were both bad. Lord, that's a debate right there. Who's the worst quarterback? Matt Castle or Mark Sanchez?
At least Matt Castle. Oh, Jesus. Matt Castle went 11-5 at least, and it was him.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, the running game. And
yeah.
Man, I don't get this. It's just a bad thing. Hey, go to Jacksonville where you should have gone, Tim Tebow. Yep. I told you.
Should have went to Jacksonville. Hey, we would have got the same kind of deal anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Go to Jacksonville and
have a good time. Start over with Blaine Gabbert and Chad Henne. Go ahead. That's fine.
Hey, Cecil Shorts and
Justin Blackman. Justin Blackman, just make sure you go deep. Short routes ain't working with Tim Tebow. Go deep.
You throw deep every now and then. Watch your stats go down.
Maurice Jones-Drew, watch your stats go up.
Oh, yeah, because you know they're going
to
run the ball.
They got to. We're going to pass it 5 times and win.
So, I don't even need to ask you this question because I already know the dang answer.
Go ahead.
Who's your pick for MVP?
You don't have to ask me. And the answer is Jerome Peyton freaking Manning, of course. Are you kidding me? Look, I have so much love. I love Adrian Peterson. I think Adrian Peterson is the best running back I personally have ever seen in my life. Just everything-wise. When he even came out in the draft, I felt he should have been a top three pick. He, how he dropped that far, I have no idea. I guess, you know, injuries or whatever. I knew he was going to be a monster. When he was in college, he was like the best player I've ever seen. And he has lived up to it in the NFL. Came 9 yards shy of breaking Eric Dickerson's record coming off ACL tear. That is freaking, that's incredible. That is incredible. But Peyton Manning. I know everybody can say, you know, Tim Tebow this and Tim Tebow that. First of all, it wasn't Tim Tebow more so than the defense that kept Tim Tebow in the game in order to create these fourth quarter miracles that he did. So our defense was good. You didn't get as much credit as it should have, but our defense was good. Offensively, we were limited. Nobody honestly believes if Tim Tebow was to have that opportunity again, he would do the same thing. It wouldn't happen. That was just a once-in-a-lifetime. That's all you're going to see. So you bring a guy like Peyton Manning, a guy who's coming off 4 neck surgeries, had to sit a year out of the NFL, was basically kicked out of the franchise he was with for, you know, 14 years. They decided to move on and head on to the future, which, I mean, you can't knock them for that. Peyton was owed a lot of money. They had the number one pick. Andrew Luck was available. It was a toss-up. It's a toss-up. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? So they decided to move towards the future, which, I mean, as you can see, wasn't a bad decision. They're still building the playoff hunt. Peyton Manning, though, went to a whole new team, whole new city, whole new offense, had to learn new players, new coaches, everything. And we won 11 straight games. Started out the gate a little slow. Everybody knew he was going to take some time to get into the groove, especially with the offense, with the Broncos basically going from now this trashing this spread offense that they ran to now this no-huddle offense. I mean, it's a transition. It's a major transition. And I understand that Adrian Peterson carried his team and did everything, you know, for his squad. But Peyton Manning changed the entire culture of the Denver Broncos franchise, without question. He changed the entire culture. It is now a culture that is expected to win. Bringing a guy like him, you are expected to win championships. And that's what he's done. He has put us in a position to win a championship this year. And I mean, granted, you know, Adrian Peterson, they made the playoffs. They lost. We are the number one seed. Nobody coming into the season thought we would get the number one seed. And then to go ahead and win 11 straight games to close out the season, how can you not give him the MVP award? This is arguably one of his best seasons ever.
Okay, let me make an argument for Adrian.
Go ahead.
I'll just keep it straight simple. The dude came off ACL, MCL surgery. Mm-hmm. So normally you wouldn't even expect him back until like week 10 of the next season. He comes back, first game. Mm-hmm. Basically comes back, plays the whole game, the whole season. Over 2,000 yards on a team that basically lost their second-best player, you know, early on in the season. Quarterback's questionable. Leads them to the playoffs. People had Denver possibly winning their division. Well, we knew they was going to win their division. But, I mean, nobody had them going number one seed.
Nope.
But, I mean, people were probably picking the Vikings third or fourth. I mean, Detroit was good the year before, and they stunk it back up again. But nobody was, they weren't better than, they weren't going to beat out Chicago. And, I mean, dude just put up a monster season.
I get that. And I give so him all the credit for that.
But
he can have comeback player of the year. It's but just, MVP is Peyton Manning.
Yeah, Jonathan and I argued like all season through this. Just we were like, all these what ifs. And it was like, all right. We were like, all right, if he gets 2,000 yards, he's going to get MVP. If his team gets in the playoffs, he's going to get MVP. Like, but Peyton Manning.
But it was like if Peyton Manning gets that number one seed, he got to get MVP. And yeah, he did
like,
it.
If he gets the bye, they get a bye, he would get it. And then he got the number one seed. We were like, he probably just would get it.
And that's what he did. 11 straight games. And let me remind y'all, these aren't 11, you know, squeaking wins. These are 11 butt-kicking wins. We whooped them. That's how you get it done. That's Super Bowl caliber. You beat down teams you're supposed to beat down, and that's what we did. Yeah, we lost to who? Houston, Atlanta, New England. Wow. We lost to three elite teams. Yeah, we kicked the butts of all the other weak ones we had to play. So we did what we had to do. We will be seeing Baltimore Indy come next week.
Yeah, you beat Cincinnati.
Yeah, and then it's going to be a New England.
And you beat Baltimore. I would say you beat Cincinnati.
Beat Cincy.
And you beat Baltimore.
Beat Baltimore.
Everybody else, you know, New Orleans, okay. But, you know, yeah, I mean, but, you know, you had a hard schedule.
It's not our fault. We didn't set the schedule.
Yes, and I say that with most teams. But they don't play anybody. Like, well.
We didn't set the schedule.
Ain't this what you're supposed to do? Yep. You're supposed to beat up on the weak teams. Exactly. And if you got a load of weak teams in front of you, you just beat them.
Yeah.
So, I would like to see Adrian Peterson get it. I'd like to see Adrian Peterson get it just because I think this is his one shot.
Oh, I don't.
I think he'll might be in a discussion, but it's going to be tough for him to win. Because it's like, basically, we need you to put up another 2,000-yard season. You know, maybe if he broke Eric Dickerson. I mean, we don't know. It's just a lot of them.
Yeah, it's a lot of what
is
speculation.
Yes. Hey, y'all. Ready for the next set of playoff games? Here we go. Let's see what it's going to get down to the final four.
Yep.
Let's do this.
Let's do it.
We're going to take a quick break, y'all. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour.
Once again. You should feel threatened. Front, I'ma show you what's good in a second. The best in the business. I mean, what is it? The dopest MC to walk, talking, and live it. A white bride screen with a blockbuster signature. Every new line I speak should be in cinemas. Champion sound. I win with words like you finally talked your girl into sleeping with a friend of hers. Oh yeah, I'm off on the good one. Mama's so proud of what a boy from the hood does. Got off the meat and I got my mind right. I got out these streets, I got my grind like I got on these beats. I gotta come tightest. Gotta be me, it's gotta be nice. Your boys dropped some stuff and it was probably nice. But they need a little help and a lot of advice. Quit while you're ahead, you ain't seeing no bread. And don't sleep on us, you can sleep when you're dead. And grateful, you didn't live life hateful. Change for the better like the weather in April. Food for the soul, grab a head, grab a plateful. A heart full of hate is a waste and disgraceful. Don't it just turn your stomach when a brother only wanna see another brother plummet. Come with your best so you can lose like the rest. Straight shots when I shoot, how we do on the West. Yeah. You know who we might be, man, myth the MC, but Merc sums it up best now. Wouldn't you agree? I step to the plate like it's and one and straight. Throw the mic around your neck and then bounce it off your face with grace. The ace in the hole, replacing the old. Cause the new generation got a taste for some soul. Hold on till opinions till I tell you to have one. That mic wasn't hot until the spot till I grabbed one. Off the stand, now it's off the hook. And when the beat is this nuts, then I'm off the books. Meaning off the head, freestyling, making bread. And I should have been in the movie, but I made my own instead. Still pioneering with this independent hustle. When your mic cord is much too short for you to tussle for the man that flow like 40 water. Poured in remembrance of every hood soldier that died in ghetto tenements, innocent to proven guilty. Should I die, don't look for the dude that killed me. Look for a brighter tomorrow. And in spite of the sorrow, live every moment to the fullest so your life isn't hollow. And you can holler out my name from the top of the game. And should you pass, homie, I'ma promise I'll do the same for a
soul. Welcome back, everybody, to the Brother Lima Sports Happy Hour. Y'all want to hit us up? Follow us on Twitter, at Brother Layman. You can call the Happy Hour, 323-455-4219. Or you can email the show, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com.
Hit us up. Anything y'all want to know, questions, comments, concerns, anything y'all want to let us know, any critiques y'all have for us, we definitely want to hear them. We definitely will get back at you, so hit us up anytime.
Yeah, let us know you think our analysis is incorrect. You think your team is better? You think the Broncos are not going to win, are not as tight as Jonathan thinks they are?
Oh, please. You think the Broncos aren't going to the Super Bowl, please call me, because I'll let you know.
Into the NBA. About a third into the season.
Looking good, looking good.
A lot of teams exceeding expectations.
A lot of teams not exceeding expectations.
Nope. A lot of teams disappointing, a little shocking. You know, I think we got a little bit of both of those in City of Angels.
Oh, yes, we do. And I love it.
Yeah, we just came off of last night, had the... The hallway matchup, first time this season.
And it was closer than most people expected. But the outcome is pretty much what everyone expected.
Depending on who you ask.
Well, Laker loss is what I expected. I heard a lot of people expecting a Laker loss. And I even heard someone on the radio pretty much pumping up moral victories before the game. The Lakers lose 6 points, but they show great defense. Like, if y'all don't get out of here with that crap with the Lakers, I'm so sick of that. These moral victories now. Is that the expectation we have from the Lakers now? We need moral victories.
Yeah, out here, in terms of, well, disappointing, it's hard not to see the Lakers just totally underachieving. Coming into this season, met a world peace, 73 wins. Right, folks just talk championship. Just give us the ring right now. We about to come get this. And it has been nothing but 15-17.
48-34. I called it before the season started.
Yeah, if you've been listening to the show, you know.
I will appreciate your pats on the back. I appreciate it because I know. I just saw it. I mean, I saw it before it happened. I could just see it unravel. And then the hiring of Mike D'Antoni just was the icing on the cake for me. I was like, oh, they may flip that around as far as I'm concerned. He's 34-48.
Yeah, this game should have told you a lot about these two teams. I mean, it said it afterward. You know, Clippers have some chemistry. They are really tight knit. The pieces just seem to fit. You know, they built an actual team. Mm-hmm. Jamal Crawford didn't even play, and they were down 19 going in the fourth. You know, now the questions about how the hell they brought it back and almost won the game. You know, Clippers still got some things to work out. But, you know, if there's anybody doubting who the better team is in the city right now, it's the Clippers.
Without question.
Yeah, we're not talking about who's the best franchise. I mean, that's a stupid question because the answer is obvious. Of course, it's the Lakers.
But well, for this talking moment about right now,
who is the best team right now?
It is the Los Angeles Clippers.
Come on.
Wow.
Chris Paul, 30 points, 13 assists, 6 rebounds, 2 steals, balling.
Look, things are just really starting to unravel for the Lakers. You got Kobe coming out saying they're slow and they're old. You got Mike D'Antoni basically saying, no, that's not true. You know, we'll address that, blah, blah, blah. I was so frustrated about his role. He's being benched in the fourth quarter constantly, shooting threes. He, you know, Kobe's backing him up saying we got to figure out something for Powell. Dwight Howard coming out saying we got no chemistry. It's just a big mess. It's a big mess for the Lakers right now. And honestly, I don't see it getting any better. I do not see it getting any better.
No, and they look like they came into this game trying to feed Dwight Howard, which they did, which actually was a little shocking because they just kept going to him. And I was like, wow, right? And this is their finally. And, of course, you know, with most players, if you feed them offensively, you know, they will contribute more on defense, which he did. But, you know, that, of course, takes out Paul Gasol, which put up a couple threes, just 1 for 6. You know, most of those was jumpers, like 20-footers, which is not his forte.
Game, man.
You know, so, of course, he's not going to be in the game in the fourth quarter. Nope. You know, you don't run anything for him. All the shots went to Dwight Howard.
That's ridiculous.
You know, Kobe had his great game, of course, 38 points.
Of course, Kobe took the most shots, of course.
You know, don't get me fooled by the 5 steals. He wasn't playing all that great defense. He was getting beat a lot of the time.
Why is Jody Meeks taking 13 shots?
I like Jody Meeks' aggressiveness. I will give him that.
Why is Steve Nash taking 4? Like, what is going on here? And you wonder why y'all don't win. Kobe's taking 25 shots and... Let's see. Dwight Howard gets 14. Steve Nash, 4. Meta World Peace, 6. Those three combined didn't shoot a shot. One less shot than Kobe. What is going on?
See, to me, 25 should be his cap. He can go for 30 every now and then, but 25 should be his cap. I like Dwight Howard getting 14 shots.
That's fantastic. But Steve Nash getting 4 is terrible.
He was getting 4 is kind of weird, in fact, and they were all 3s. So he's not getting into the paint. And I was surprised they went with Dwight Howard so much against a team that actually has, you know, a decent front court. You know, Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan have improved a lot this season.
Big time.
You know, which adds to where they're at. And it's just turmoil. It's been said what can be fixed. Jonathan's take is, yeah.
Absolutely nothing can be done with the Lakers. They're stuck. They've basically dug themselves into a huge hole, and they're going to have to wait a little while for somebody to get them out. And unfortunately, Laker fans, you're going to have to do what the Clipper fans had to do for years, which is kick back, enjoy your sorry season, and deal with it. So... You can't trade Pau Gasol. He's making too much money. Nobody wants him. You Laker fans, I'm going to be straight up and honest with you. You guys overvalue your players more than anybody. You think Pau Gasol is going to net you this just plethora of players? No, he's not. He's making, $38 million for the next 2 years?
Yep.
This year and next year? No. I, if I'm a team, I don't want that. And I'm not going to give you good quality players for that at all. And then what else you got? You got Dwight Howard. You ain't trading him.
No, you can't because he's a free agent.
There you go. And then you got Kobe. You ain't trading Kobe. You're not trading Nash. What do you have to trade? Nobody wants Metal World Peace.
Nope.
You got nothing. And then you have no first round picks. So if you are sorry, your lottery picks are going to another team. So let's not forget you're over the luxury tax. Oh, yeah. So you owe buku money.
You will be even more.
Oh, and if you're sorry, Dwight Howard's not staying. I'm sorry. I'm leaving. So, I mean, Lakers did themselves in. And me, I'm sorry. I put this on firing Mike Brown. I put this on that. Jim Buss, this is your fault for that. Firing Mike Brown was a terrible decision. Mike Brown, the Lakers' defense, granted, was not spectacular under Mike Brown, but it was all right. It was decent. Their defense under Mike D'Antoni is horrendous. Yes, their offense is better. But, I mean, with Steve Nash, Dwight Howard, Kobe Bryant, you can find some, and Pau Gasol, you can find ways to get offense. I mean, seriously, you find ways to get offense. But you look at, you know, Mike Brown's 1-4 start. Does it really seem so bad now, considering they're 15-17? Oh, and I will throw this out there. And I told Chris this. I personally thought, once they fired Mike Brown, I thought Bernie Bickerstaff should have remained the coach for the foreseeable future, because when they played with him, they were 3-0, and they played the best basketball they have played all season. And you bring in Mike D'Antoni, and garbage. Because you don't focus on defense, and defense wins rings. So, just deal with it, Laker fans. Enjoy.
I say it's going to be tough. I'm not as brutal as my brother.
Brutally honest.
Yeah, I think the Lakers can still salvage the season. You are not going to catch the Clippers. You are currently 10.5 games behind the Clippers. Wow, that is...
That's embarrassing. That is embarrassing. If you would have told anybody that the third through the season, the Lakers would be 10.5 games behind the Clippers, nobody in their life would believe.
No, and you're 6.5 behind Golden State. Like, nobody, you couldn't tell this any time back in the day. Nope. Since the Lakers
people got would be like, please, now, get out of here.
10.5 behind the Clippers.
Not in this lifetime, yeah.
What, having a nightmare or something? No, this is real.
Yeah, this is reality, folks.
So, that's not going to happen. So, you have time to catch Golden State. You know, you're not completely out of it.
Wait. Am I seeing this right?
What?
They only got 2 more wins more than the Kings. Good Lord, boy. How the mighty have fallen. Good Jesus. I'm sorry. It's terrible. Everybody wanted to get on Oklahoma City. Oh, they traded James Harden. They ain't going to be as good. Oh, they're bomb. They're just as good.
They still playing. I'll just say this. Laker fans, and for the Lakers, make a decision on what you're going to do with your bigs. You do not go to your bigs enough. And often, when you did, you won championships. So, yes, Pau Gasol does have a legitimate gripe.
Yep.
But if you're not going to play him, play one or the other. He and Dwight Howard do not play well together.
Nope.
The spacing doesn't work. You know, if you give it to Gasol more and let him create and let, you know, get some space and catch Dwight Howard, you know, on certain cutbacks. But that's not going to happen. So pick one. Looks like it's going to be Dwight Howard because he's a better defensive player. Seems like you're going to play Metta World Peace more at the four. So do that. You need Jody Meeks in because you need a shooter. Play more of Jameson. Jordan Hill's going to get more run just because you have to play a guy who's going to give you that much that kind of energy. He can't sit.
And he's athletic.
Yeah. He can actually run.
Exactly.
And Nash, keep holding the ball more. Do what you can. Don't just shoot threes.
He's old.
Yeah, but find a defensive system that you think works and just focus on that. And if you have to sit Powell a lot and Powell only gets 20-some minutes and you win, fine. I don't care.
I wouldn't
care what Magic Johnson said that Powell needs to be on the floor all the damn time. Look, if I'm winning and he on the bench, then guess what? He on the bench.
Defensive system. It's wishful thinking, my friend.
What to do, but
that is wishful thinking.
They gotta do something about that.
Oh, without question, they better do something about that. Or Laker fans at this point are up in arms, and that's all you can really do. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, just like them. They
y'all got a gripe too. Y'all can be upset. Yeah,
you just like the team. They lost. I mean, you made this change early on in the season. No training camp. Nash and Howard haven't even had time to really gel. You know, Kobe Bryant's doing his thing, but he's not making anybody better. He's just keeping the team afloat.
Yeah.
Which is why they just sit around and watch him. So, yeah. That needs some work.
Let's talk about some good teams.
But yeah, Oklahoma City, all of that whole, you know, oh, they got James Harden, so now they're worse than the Lakers, and they're not going to win a championship now. They are
25-7.
Yeah, the best team in the league.
So what do you want? I mean, you know, I had a feeling that when they traded James Harden, I had a feeling that everything was gonna be fine. I said on the show, I like the trade for Oklahoma City. I thought the package they got, where they got Kevin Martin, was was a great pickup. As you can see, Kevin Martin has played very well with them. You know, you got Jeremy Lamb, who's, you know.
Jeremy Lamb's in the D-League.
He's in the D-League. Guy who could possibly replace Kevin Martin come next year. You got first-round picks, second-round picks, so.
Right. They're built to compete, to be in the mix for basically the next 5-6 years. I know there's been that argument of should they have kept James Harden and got rid of Russell Westbrook. I'm on the no because Russell Westbrook is a beast. He might take too many more shots than Kevin Durant.
And that's my gripe.
Wouldn't have my vote for MVP right now.
Chris knows that is my one gripe with Russell Westbrook. Stop shooting so freaking much.
No, but he's aggressive. I like that. And I think it'll work. But, yeah, they're balling.
Oh, yeah, like, man, they're beasting.
Yeah, they're on point. So, threat still.
Yeah, definitely.
Golden State.
Mark Jackson. You know fourth. What? Mark Jackson, you're doing a fantastic job, my friend. A bang-up job.
Oh, man.
Much love to Mark Jackson.
He beat my coach of the year. Just the fact that, you know, they didn't play that well last year with him. And it was like, well, what they going to do? They made the trade for Andrew Bogut, who hasn't really played much. But Steph Curry has stepped his game up. Klay Thompson is looking a lot better from his second year.
David Lee,
man.
Beast, one of the most underrated players in the game.
Yeah, I mean, he got paid a lot. People were like, why did he get paid so much? But
this is why he got paid so much money.
He can give you 20 and 10.
Because the boy earns that money.
He's a solid number. He's a really good number three option.
This is what the Lakers need to learn, is how to draft and how to get good players. David Lee was taking like the 30th pick.
God, I was so mad.
Lakers.
Well, yeah, Golden State's looking solid, and you know when they get Andrew Bogut back, you know
that'll watch be a defensive out. Presence on that center position. That'll be a nice boost for them.
Yes, Houston,
watch out.
Yeah, Houston. You know, I thought the trade was good for both teams.
It worked out.
You know,
James Harden's looking like good pickup. He's looking like he worked that money.
Yeah, we shall see. But yeah, he has definitely carried the load on his back. You know, Zeke has been great.
Ashik has been very good. Yeah, he has played. I can honestly say he's lived up to the contract he's been given so far.
Yeah.
Offensively, he's starting to come around a little bit, and he's giving them a solid foundation at the center position.
Yeah, and Jeremy Lin he's been all right. You know, it's going to take time for that backcourt to gel, but they're looking pretty good. I will say for Jeremy Lin, this particular All-Star game is the only one where I will, you know, I'm not going to be okay because I think it should be Chris Paul as an other guard starting.
He better not be starting.
If he surpasses, if he gets enough votes to be voted in as the other starting guard, over his teammate, because he's already got more votes than James Harden.
It's just ridiculous and absurd. But
that's shocking.
Stupid. This is why I don't like the fan voting. This is why I don't like fan voting sometimes, because it's like, really?
It's only for the starting five I can deal with it. I don't like them getting rid of the center position, but hey.
Yeah, that's fine. If I'm
hook it up, Tim Duncan.
I'm the coach. I'm taking you out for 5 minutes. I'm going to roll with my good bench.
He'll get first and third quarters, and that's it.
Don't try to be so modest, sir. Go ahead and talk about the Spurs. Go ahead.
Hey, man, the Spurs are—they just do what they're doing. It's not like exceeding expectations. They just—he
ain't brought them up, but I know he wants to. Go ahead. Were they second?
No, they third.
Third in the West.
Right now, but that's all right. Only a half game out. They in the mix. I mean, hey, Oklahoma City and the Clippers.
Why Greg Popovich is the best coach in the league?
Yeah, they a machine. You know, Tim Duncan, bringing that found the youth, man. Start again. Start over Dwight Howard. I mean, he's not. But start over Dwight Howard in the All-Star game. So there ain't no center.
Yeah. Just big man.
Yeah, he might. He's going to make the All-Star team. Balling.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm loving it. You know, but hey, it's still early. You know, that butt-whooping by the Knicks kind of hurt a little bit. But we came back and whooped on Philly.
They got the Knicks, man.
Hey, come on, exceeding expectations.
Seriously. Talking about coach of the year. Mike Woodson might have to get a nod for coach of the year.
Yeah, that's how you get to buy in. Mm-hmm. You know that? Jason Kidd, Tyson Chandler, all them vets. And it's working. You know, will it sustain? Yeah, I don't know. But, I like the intensity they're playing with. Mike Woodson has some playing D. I think Carmelo is a legit MVP candidate, and it's not just because he's doing his usual scoring. He's actually, you know, he feels like he believes in the team. He's playing team ball. He's sacrificing. And that's what you want out of your best player. You know, and I think having a leader like Jason Kidd there, especially Tyson Chandler, you know, being a defensive anchor, it does take pressure off him to actually be the leader in the locker room. He's the leader on the team based on him being the best player. You can say, but in terms of being the leader in the locker room, I don't think it's him, and I think that's a good thing.
So let's focus more on just playing.
Yeah. You know,
which is what he's good at. Let him do what he does.
Stoudemire, I think, should just come off the bench.
Okay. Solid so far off the bench. All right.
And they get Shumpert back. They're going to be nice. So, Knicks fans, feel good. I like your team. I'm not picking them to beat Miami right now. No. But, I mean, nobody is. So, don't feel bad. But the Knicks are legit. You know, I'm not saying, are they going to make the finals? I don't know.
I'm not going to go that far.
Even the Eastern Conference final? Maybe. I still need, when the playoffs hit, I need to see some stuff.
Yep.
Atlanta's third.
Hey, man. Atlanta has a nice squad. I personally really like their pickup of Louis Williams this offseason.
Great pickup.
Thought that was a fantastic addition for them. You know, they added Kyle Korver.
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun Stevenson. You know, Danny Ferry. You know, he's got to get some love for GM and executive of the year.
Oh, and Devin Harris.
You know, all this, he freed up all this room by trading Joe Johnson's contract. Mm-hmm. He set them up for a good run long term. You know, they still got Al Horford. He still got Josh Smith for the year.
Been playing well, and we'll see how that goes.
And if all goes well, Josh Smith might be something. You never
know. I don't know. But, yeah, I like what I'm seeing out of Atlanta. I hope you're getting some fan support because it never seems like it.
No.
The Hawks fans come out.
Even when I was down there, ain't nobody going to Hawk games.
I like what I'm seeing from Atlanta. I'm hoping good things for them.
And the last time we were here, I remember speaking quite highly of Avery Johnson, but good God, he's gone now. Like, what? I was like, wow.
Coach of the month of November, and then out.
I wonder if Darren Williams has something to do with that. You know, reports that they were kind of butting heads a little bit, and you know, guys weren't really buying in and were kind of clashing with them a little bit. So, you know, maybe that was the case, but, you know, it's unfortunate. You know, Avery Johnson was a good coach in Dallas. You know, he showed that he can be a good coach. So, hopefully he'll get another opportunity somewhere else. But right now, PJ Carlissimo is the guy in charge, doing what the Lakers should have done, to be interim coach for the foreseeable future. But I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you know, it's better for them to just wait to the off season.
They're going hard after Phil, dude. They're going hard after Phil.
Yes.
If they get Phil Jackson. If they get Phil Jackson.
Will Phil Jackson go there? That's more the question. Will Phil Jackson go to that team?
Ooh, if they get Phil. Ooh, if they get Phil. Ooh, if they get Phil.
If Dwight was there, probably.
If they get Phil, Laker fans will really be up in arms. Like, what is going on?
Well, Laker fans will be mad.
You could have got Phil and you got Mike D'Antoni.
Yeah, saw that. Congrats, Jenny Buss. I saw the ring on Twitter. Nice.
Much nicer.
Maybe that's part of what it was in L.A. Maybe Jim Buss knew that, you know, Phil Jackson might overtake him as the top dog.
Yep.
For the Laker organization. Might give more power.
Maybe.
You know, it's them jealous siblings like that. Like, hey, I'm the son. I'm supposed to get it.
My daddy was his blah, blah, whatever.
Yeah. Not the
daughter. Yeah.
Yeah, not the
daughter's husband.
Right. No, I ain't taking him.
Get out of here with that. And then Miami just going about their business quietly. Yeah.
They've had their moments of looking a little unsure, but I mean, LeBron's carrying the weight. And
they
know,
need help on the boards, my friend.
Yeah.
LeBron James, they lead rebound. That's a problem.
He has to do everything, which is why people will pick him and say he should be the MVP still. But no, but I will say yes, he has to do. He has to be the leading scorer, leading rebounder, leading assistant, playing the best defense.
He's a stealer, leading blocks.
He's like Joel, make all the plays.
Joel Anthony, what an investment! You think they could invest in a quality center?
They don't have no money.
Of course not. We're spending on Ray Allen and Rashard Lewis.
Yeah. You know, they're looking poised to just, you know, stay in the mix, and they're going to be the favorites until somebody knocks them off.
And look out for Indiana. Indiana's been playing well.
Coming back lately.
They're doing okay. Paul George.
Looking nice. Yeah.
Like a really good player. They're doing all this without Danny Granger. I don't know if he's coming back this season at all, so.
Yeah, hopefully Indiana can get good, because they would think they'd be better than they are. Hopefully they'll start picking it up. But shock and surprise is your Bulls. 18-13.
They're floating along. Like I was hoping they would. They're just keeping the pace, keeping it going until Derrick Rose is able to come back. Keep hearing reports more and more on the day-to-day that his rehab is going the way it's supposed to. People are pretty much projecting him to be back, you know, towards the end of February, which would be fantastic. Like, if we can go into the All-Star break, we go to the All-Star break, you know, above 500 and remain, you know, at least in second place or maybe even first in our division. When Derrick Rose comes back, it's time to roll, baby.
Yeah, they're looking hot.
Tom Thibodeau. I don't know. I don't know if it's just bias. I'm saying he should be another one candidate for Coach of the Year. And everybody pretty much wrote the Bulls off. They had to get rid of the bench mob, quote unquote. But I knew that the players they brought in to fill their bench would be solid addition. Nate Robinson has proven to be solid backup point guard. Kirk Heinrich has been okay. You know, brought in DaQuan Cook recently. Marco Bellinelli has been okay. You know, Taj Gibson's been playing well recently. So, and Joakim Noah has been on a tear this season.
Yeah, he's been stepping his game up.
So, you know, much love to the Bulls and Todd Thibodeau. He's keeping them focused. Defense, defense, defense. That's how you win. Take note, Laker fans. Just say.
Hey, man, I want to say the other team I was looking at that was disappointing, the Celtics, man. The two biggest franchises in the NBA
are weak.
Terrible.
Are weak.
I think Boston, the same issue. They're having chemistry problems. Mm-hmm. All the pieces they brought in that we thought were going to make this team basically the number two team in the East. And right now they're sitting on the eighth seed.
That goes to show you, just because you bring in all these names and everything doesn't mean anything.
Boston
build a team.
They have never restocked since that year they brought everybody on. I mean, they've kind of replaced with veterans, but even that team had veterans. You know, PJ Brown. You
know, Rasheed Wallace.
When they won.
Yeah, they had PJ Brown.
James Posey.
James Posey was on the team.
Eddie House. So. And then, you know, you lose James Posey. He was your lockdown defender. We used to have Tony Allen. Tony Allen's gone now. You got Perkins gone. Like a lot of that team. And they've never just restocked the cupboard.
Nah.
Paul Pierce still has to be the leading scorer. You know, the move worked with KG at center last year, but long term that's not going to work. Do you seem like now he feels like he's just having to do too much?
Yeah, he's starting to wear down.
He needs to just go back to the four.
Yeah. And then Jason Terry hasn't been what we've expected him to be. He's not playing well.
Yeah, he's not Ray Allen. They got a different game set.
So, hopefully they can get it together. Rajon Rondo popped off with a triple-double tonight.
Yeah, Rajon Rondo is good. He's just having to do too much.
Yeah.
Because then people are like, well, we need him to score. I'm like, but then you go around and say, we don't like point guards who do all the scoring. Like, we're going to have to reload.
Yeah.
Y'all definitely. Can, you know, Lakers and the Boston can fight over that next young wing. That's what they both need.
Yep.
Man, Kevin Love hurt his hand. God, he's, I did not want to see that.
They said he might be out 46 more weeks.
Oh, no, man. You killing my fantasy squad. Not in my fantasy.
It's, it's unfortunate. You know, he was playing well, doing some good things, but injuries are part of the game. They happen.
Yeah. Yeah, things are going to be rough. Minnesota's hanging around.
Minnesota's doing an okay job. Rick Adelman's done a good job getting those guys to play hard and
keeping the team afloat.
They're 15-15. So they're looking good. That Northwest is looking tough.
Hey, man. Tough division. You never got much to be coaching the Lakers, but, you know, that's an old story.
Oh, man. I like what I've seen so far this season, though.
Hey, man. Just more games, more wins for our squad, and
yep.
Hopefully the Lakers can
figure something out and get it together.
Yeah, if you see the hashtag, Lakers finished 48-34, it's coming from us.
Yep. It's probably me more than 9 times in 10. But I'm talking garbage about the Lakers if you need it all the time, every day. Right? That's just me.
We're going to come back, y'all. Wrap it up. You're listening to the Brothers Lamest Sports Happy Hour. Nun ich heute oder morgen.
Nun ich heute oder morgen. Will es schon gehen. All day. Nun ich heute oder morgen. Irgendwann. Man wird sehen. Sullivan, out of his element, mad villain, never forget, like an elephant, any bets up, idle threats, all relevant, get your man wallet, tell him found it, tell him it, well written, as well spit for the hell of it, before the shell hit, etiquette, spell it, pumping, dumplings, a hundred and something, something, Forrest Gump chumps, get clumps of nothing for nothing, Taurus, swung with the shores, where the sharks at, hold up, spark that park rat, stirred, not shaken, absurd verbs, his word to hot bacon, wrote this rhyme on standard sandpaper. Worked out the plan and plot for Grand Caper. Fell on the cover of Playbill. Gorilla make your mother say ill. Hey, will ya? 10 feet at least, the beast may steal ya. Yeah, I feel ya. Hey, what's better than the healer yet worse than tequila? A money getting again that's thirstier than a squiller. I guess you had to be there. It was free beer. Last of the Ansars on the microphone. Cyclone like Myanmar. Hand in the jar, got stuck, took it. Glasses took the potluck crooked, plaster not looking, 4 words cash on the spot, booking, howdy, never too loud for me, too rowdy and too black and too proud to be, and he's outy, last scene with a queen, Lekum Dinakum Malia Dean, yeah I mean.
Welcome back to the Brother Lane Sports Happy Hour. Well, it looks like the college football season is about to come to an end.
Yeah, we're getting close to the national championship game. The bowl games have been pretty good, and God, my predictions have been horrible. Predicted Oklahoma to beat Texas A&M. That ain't happening.
Texas A&M kicked the ass.
Predicted LSU to win. That ain't happening.
Man, yeah, it's
been a lot of upsets, which makes it fun. I mean, that to me makes college football fun. That's what makes it so interesting, is that you got these kids who aren't getting paid, you know, like the pros, but they just put everything they got on the line to win these games, and sometimes the teams you least expect to win come up with the big wins.
Yeah, I'm happy with the Pac-12 Oregon winning. Yeah. He has the bowl 35-17 over Kansas State, which was almost a national championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Very, which I'm sure now they thought the score people were like, oh, okay, I'm glad that didn't happen.
Very disappointing with the Trojans losing to Georgia Tech. I cannot, but 7-6 is completely unacceptable. Lane Kiffin, you deserve to get fired, sir.
Yeah, this is the talk. Luckily, the Lakers have overtaken that. Otherwise, if this was like in the SEC country, that's all we'd be talking about.
It happened again.
What?
UCLA is better than USC.
Yeah.
What is going on? SC, the Lakers, now they at the bottom of the barrel. What's happening? I even read that some of these top high school recruits who were committed to SC are starting to decommit. I'm starting to look for other schools to go to just because, you know, you can't play that bad. Well, like, you can't play that bad.
Like I said, this is like, I don't know if this is correct, if it's the first time, but it's like it's either the first or it's been a long time since a team that was preseason number one
ended up not ranked.
Yeah.
Like, and Matt Barkley's stock dropped. This kid is one of them doing some dudes. Some people are like, he could be the number one pick. Nope, not no more. I'm sorry, nope. That has gone out the window. He ain't a top 10 pick at quarterback anymore, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's the.
But
Stanford winning.
They got to get it together. Stanford winning.
Yeah.
Doing a good job. Blend it out.
Yeah.
So, much love to the Pac-12.
So, who you got?
Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people picking Bama. I'm picking Notre Dame just based off. I love Monte Taylor. That's my dude. He is the business. And Notre Dame's defense has been basically impenetrable this whole season. Nobody can really score much against him. And offensively, their freshman quarterback has made huge strides this year. I think he's poised to have a monster game. But plus, with Alabama, their defense last year was so good that it was impossible for this team to live up to that expectation. Their defense is good. I'm not saying their defense isn't good, but last year's defense was just ridiculously good.
Oh, they're a better team last year.
Yeah, without question. So they're a good team, but I just think defensively they're not as tough as they were last year. So I give that edge to Notre Dame.
You know what? I ain't pulling from either one of these two.
I really colleges. Care who wins, but
that's but just I have a feeling that it's just gonna be the SEC again, and hopefully it's not an ugly game. If it's one of these 10-7 games, I'm like, oh my god, really? It's a defensive struggle game again. I'm like, this is 2 years in a row.
That's what I'm expecting too. I'm expecting, and I told one of my coworkers this. I'm expecting Notre Dame to win 13-10. That's my prediction. 13-10.
13-14. Yep. I hope it's enjoyable, man. That's all. I hope it's a good game.
Yeah. But I mean, for the people who, all you SEC fans out there, I'm sure a lot of y'all are disappointed. LSU lost. Florida lost. So let's hope Alabama can win to boost it up for them, because not looking too good, I see.
Nah, they got
Mississippi State lost. So, it ain't been a good bowl season for the SEC. I'll say that much. The Pac-12, I will say it's been a pretty good one.
Pac-12 has really improved this season. I'm happy.
I say they up there with the SEC.
Oh, I think they've at least moved. They definitely moved into that number two slot.
Without question.
It's only getting better.
The SC, you could have bumped them up to one.
That's all right. Just didn't finish that bad. And I want to give a quick shout out to the folks at the Happy Hour Fantasy Football League. This was a good
nonsense.
It was a good season.
It was a great season. I'm sorry. I'm just bitter.
I'm mad. Shout out to all the guys who played this year and all the folk who just play fantasy football. Congrats to those who won.
Yeah, man.
I missed out on the championship game.
And for those of y'all, who missed out by close losses,
that's me.
Feel your pain. I know that's a lot of you out there who were a point or two from making it to the championship, or a point or two from winning that championship, winning that money, but I feel your pain. I feel you. But, you know, there's always next season. Yeah. You know, everybody start getting your pen and pad ready. Start jotting down the people you're trying to take next year. And make sure you get a head start.
It's always fun. This is the reason why we play.
Of course.
It's painful and you get mad and want to throw crap like I did.
Much love to Boumaye.
Yeah, he came to
came out, the league. Won the league.
He didn't even like his draft. He
really didn't. He was upset. Said he kind of didn't get the players he wanted, to sort of speak. But, you know, he came out on top. He went out, you know, like a pro, and won, you know. So that it's all good.
Congrats to you, bro.
Congrats to you, my brother. You pulled it off. But next year will be a different story, so I'm sure.
We want to thank y'all for checking in. with us at the Brooklyn Lakers Sports Happy Hour. Once again, you can always find us at www.blackisonline.com. All the other great Black Is podcasts that you hear on the station.
That's right, that's right.
Of course, the Black Is Break with Casey Lehman and the fam. I know y'all enjoyed the Django podcast we had.
Just doing the Django.
The Silent. And Brother Malcolm, Culture Connection, you know.
Malky Malk. Mm-hmm.
And if you always want to leave comments, you can do that at the comment section on the site. You can also hit us up on email, brotherslayman@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, @brotherslayman. You can call the hotline at 323-455-4219. And you can also follow us on Facebook on the Black Is Magazine page.
And from your host, Chris and Jonathan, this is us from the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour, where we're giving it to you strong and it goes down smooth.
Take it easy.
Before I start right quick, microphone check 2-2-1-2-1-2. Big up all the Monster Allen massive. And beware before I triple dare you like the last kid. Who asked me what we don't got that you got, son? For one flow that's elementary, my dear watch, son. Secondly, ever since I was little, not so much to riddle, least rhyme to the syllable. Keep tracks and make an A-rap deep clap. With no hands, I chop these drums off truly yours, G-rap. Actual fact, relax. In this land of lyrical lost black, I'm not the cool sleet stack. The one who might stop and talk to you, poison to few. Niggas who be biting styles, I'm like pork too. Ooh, what you got to lose? Let mud fly. When I got blues, I two whole crews, that's butt dry. So I ask why, the stars from the cess sit me fucking with my eye. As I pull it to the chest, a super motherfucking villain, grip the mic with an iron hand. Throwing them seeds to the fire from out the frying pan. It ain't no use in trying, man, son, stop crying. Frontin' like you death defying, need to stop lying. Speak your peace, only once you're spoken to first. Now let me hear your verse while I'm choking you with rubber fine rhymes like an editor. Throw them to my collections of skulls and spines like Predator. Fuck around, the only niggas who can hear the same sound was Jet Jaguar and James Brown. Yeah, yeah, only them. And I'm glad I took the time to write their names down just to big them up. I like to say hi, it's Sci-Fly, the Odd Merlin. That's quick to whip up a script like Rod Serling. Who I own bad bitch, who used to whip the Sterling. Who see God Tobin, never see God Erlin. My man Grimm had his little monkey like Space Ghost. Me, myself, I got flavors that I'll taste most. With numb gum, some rhymes is late toast. Back to you, MF Doom, you late show host. S to the U to the P-E-R-A. Who chronicled these times in a 3D horror. Thriller Pono, co-starer in a real drama. Who break bread with stingy kids. Man, Indian borrower, lone gunman who candidly flip fly flows single-handedly with one eye closed in a fly pose. No shirt, a lay-a, may see me stack the quarter mil cash pay. That's that in a smash way. How we did it, motherfucker probably couldn't peep it past the minute. It's the squishy scripts, the quick shit. Go with the flow. That's how we do it though. Yeah, yo, I'd like to give a special shout out. Rhyme is the L, Rockwell, the depths of hell, pure mathematics. Stacks like Craftmatics, Chief Justice, Supreme Love of Law, Prince Love of Law, Sound Man, Master Sword, Sound Man, Lord, Lord God, who? Peace. Yo, 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 yo,